You're listening to Witch Wednesdays, a semi-weekly podcast source for all things witchcraft in the modern world. Join your host, Steph, on Wednesday mornings to chat about seasons, Sabbats, and all new witchcraft topics to help you make your life more magical. Welcome back to Witch Wednesdays. I'm Steph, and I have a guest here with me today to talk about one of my newest favorite topics. I'm very excited, and I am going to turn it over to them so they can introduce themselves, let you know where you can find them online, and then we were going to dive in to his new book.
Hi, Steph. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited to be here. So my name is George Lizos. I'm a spiritual teacher and Greek pagan priest, and my new book is called Secrets of Greek Mysticism, which is all about connecting with the Greek gods and goddesses from a theological, spiritual perspective. You can get in touch with me on my website, georgelizos.com, on Instagram at georgelizos, and you can find out all the information about the book on greekmysticism.com, where you can also get like a free workshop when you get the book, all about meeting your guardian Greek god or goddess.
And I am very excited for your book. I was really excited to start reading it because I have a renewed sense of interest in this topic because I just reread all the Percy Jackson books of my childhood. And that is where Disney Channel is where all of my Greek knowledge comes from. So very, very limited and not based in total reality. So I was excited to read your book and learn more about what the mysticism actually is and the actual stories behind the gods and goddesses. So it was a fascinating read for me. I learned so much.
Oh, trust me. Before I got into it, I was like, as a kid, I grew up watching Xena the Warrior Princess and Hercules the Legendary Journeys. And I learned so much false things about the Greek gods and goddesses from watching those TV series. But now it's a fun memory. And they actually include a story about Hera that I learned from Xena the Warrior Princess.
I love Xena too. I forgot about that. Oh yeah, that was a good one. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the biggest misconceptions if somebody came from a background like we did as children that they have about Greek gods and goddesses that we know today?
So the biggest misconception is that they are just myths and they're lifeless idols that the ancient Greeks used to worship. That's not it. That's just a Christian propaganda that convinced the world that the ancient Greeks got everything right when it comes to like democracy and the theater and the arts and science, but religion. They just got religion wrong. That's not true. They put religion right as well, in the sense that they had a whole system of relating to the cosmos, relating to nature, and representing nature in the form of the Greek gods and goddesses. So in truth, the Greek gods and goddesses, they are universal laws and function in the same way we have the law of gravity. The law of form, for example, is represented by Aphrodite. So there are as many gods and goddesses as there are laws and universal functions. Different cultures around the world with different pagan traditions, they represented those laws with different names and different deities. And the Greeks represented them via the 12 Olympians and so many other gods. So that is a main misconception, essentially.
And I have found that to be very true, but I think that's such an interesting point that we borrowed so much from the Greeks, like democracy and everything, and we think they got so many things right, but oh, religion, not that one. That's the only thing. So these gods and goddesses must not be real. That's a fascinating point. I never thought of it that way, but that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they got everything right. And you know what I love about the ancient Greek religion is that it was very accepting. And I feel that many pagan traditions have been accepting of like other religions. Like when you think about the ancient Greeks and their spirituality, the religion had to do with creating virtuous adults from the moment a person was born until the moment the person died. That was the range that religion was guiding people on. When it comes to life before birth and life after death, that wasn't the realm of religion was a realm of philosophy, and the ancient Greeks had many different philosophical schools, Orphism, Platonism, Aristotelianism, etc. Whereas they conceived different ideas and theories about the afterlife. And therefore, so many people that believed, had different beliefs about, let's say, for example, reincarnation and life after death, were all belonging to the same, in the same religion and coexisting with one another. And I think that is the beauty of the ancient Greek religion, is that because it's that it was very accepting, agreeing on a common basis, and then giving people the freedom to explore different theories and find what made sense for them.
So the gods and goddesses then are just ideas of what's going on in the universe. And unlike some of the stories that we've been told through Disney Channel, they're not necessarily good or evil.
Exactly. There are no evil gods. Because if you assume that there are evil gods, that means that Source is evil. So let's take it a step back and talk about the hierarchy of spiritual beings. So first, there is Source, infinite intelligence, true being, as the ancient Greeks called it. There are many words for it. Essentially, the universe with a capital U, the all that encompasses everything that has or hasn't been created. Then from there, we have the gods. The gods, they are multiplications of the universe, meaning they are representations of different universal functions. They're not below the universe, the all infinite intelligence source. They are it, but there are different aspects of that. And then we go a step down, and then we have the various secondary deities representing different universal functions and laws. And then we have humans. And there is this evolution of the soul between all these different realms, but we're all belonging to that realm. So if the universe, the all, is pure, is loving, is unchangeable, because these are the characteristics of Source, and the gods are representations, extensions of that, then by definition, the gods are also pure, and loving and unchanging. And so are we. So what we experience as evil is really a disconnection from who we truly are, and therefore who the gods truly are.
I think that was a very nice way to summarize a theory that can get very complicated very quickly. That made a lot of sense. Very few short sentences. That was wonderful. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So when it comes to then this relationship that you could have in reaching out to these deities, is that something that's open to anyone, even if they do not have any Greek ancestry?
Yes, great question. So since the ancient Greek gods and goddesses, who are not really ancient, I mean, they still exist because universal laws can't have a beginning and an end. They are universal laws. They're constantly evolving and expanding. Because they're universal laws and functions, that means anyone is already working with them. It's the same thing as saying, oh, you cannot work with the law of gravity because you're not from a specific country. It doesn't make sense because it is a universal law. The difference is that different pagan cultures around the world have represented those laws in different ways, with a different sense of understanding. So that's why in the Celtic tradition, you have goddess Rhiannon, for example, who can be compared to the Greek Aphrodite. Or when you go to the Mesopotamian Ishtar, goddess Ishtar, again, compared to Aphrodite. The Egyptian god Ra may be connected to Apollo. They all have similar characteristics based on how those specific cultures interpreted those universal laws and given them different names, different characteristics, and created different stories and therefore myths around them. But essentially, they are the exact same universal laws, just packaged in a different way. So everybody can work with them if they have a genuine interest to connect with them. But my guidance always is, see where you feel connected to go towards. Personally, connecting with my ancestral gods and goddesses was something that truly awakened like inner wisdom that was untapped and within me, because I believe that we have energetic cords connecting us to our ancestors and their spiritual beliefs. But at the same time, we have past life cords connecting us to different traditions. Like I have an affinity with the Chinese culture, for example, and I believe I have a cord connecting me to that as well. So it doesn't matter where we come from, we can all connect with them as long as we have that genuine urge to connect with them.
That is lovely to know, because I have it Greek more than anything is the pantheon that has called to me. And I have, I think, only 1% Greek ancestry. It's there. It's hidden deep. I'm mostly Italian.
You know what? That's actually very interesting, because if people are mixed race, because we can do the test right now and find out, I've done mine and it says 99% Cypriot. I can't run away with it. Like it's 99% Greek essentially. So, but if someone comes from like different ancestries, that's fascinating. That means we have cords connecting us to different spiritual beliefs. And when we activate those cords, we can learn so much. But even if we don't have any ancestral cord to something, like blood-wise, it doesn't really matter, because we're all interconnected, and universal laws are universal laws, and we are all different people, and we should find something that works for us to connect with.
And speaking of works for us, I want to say that I really appreciate in your book that you not only have, you know, the Olympians and the stories and a lot of mythology, but you also have a great section for getting started, like really from the very beginning of if you want to incorporate this and start connecting and how to do that, really a step-by-step guide. And I think that is so appreciative for beginners who are a little scared to dive into this and don't really know where to start. And I really appreciated you including all of those spells and rituals and guided ways to get started in that area.
Oh, I appreciate you saying this, because I'm a steps person. Like I want a formula for everything, and I create formulas and systems for everything. So with this book as well, like I, as you said, I talk about the Greek Wheel of the Year, which is a little bit different from the Celtic Wheel of the Year. And then I have practices in connecting and honoring the God of the month, and then practicing a new moon ritual and a full moon ritual, setting up the altar, consecrating, clearing it, activating it, animating the statues. So there's really a beginner's guide there to get started on your path.
I really appreciated your idea of the Greek Wheel of the Year, because that was something, the way that you set it up was not something that I had seen before, where you sort of have a different deity focus each month. That was really great for me, because then you're kind of getting to know everything, but in a very orderly fashion.
Yeah, I mean, the Greek Wheel of the Year was something that I really craved, because I grew up, I went through like a witchcraft phase, and I'm still like going through it. Like I still practice witchcraft in a different way from the Greek perspective right now. But because I've practiced different traditions for a long period of time, and I bought into the Celtic Wheel of the Year, and it made sense for me. I'm like, how do I take this information and translate it to what I'm doing with the Greek gods and goddesses? But thankfully, the contemporary organization that really carries the ancient Greek religion forward had put together the Greek Wheel of the Year. Now, by putting together, I mean that they had to put it together, because when you go back to the ancient times, the ancient Greece was not a unified country. It was divided into city-states, and each city-state had their own Wheel of the Year based on their own gods and their own festivals, all aligning with the seasonal changes of the earth, like the Celtic Wheel of the Year, for example. So what the contemporary pagans did, they put it all together and they created a common Wheel of the Year that we can all use. That's, again, aligned, I feel, with the Celtic one and also the changing of the seasons. So it's still a journey around the sun. But instead of having 8 festivals like the Celtic one, it has 12.
And I enjoyed that, because I think that is just a little bit more in line with how my life moves and my seasons move at the current time. It doesn't always line up with what the Celtic Wheel of the Year is doing. I like the month by month.
Yeah, it's more specific. Like, for example, we have in February, we celebrate the Anthesteria Festival, which is the very beginning of spring. And then we go into the spring equinox in March, which is the beginning of spring. So it will have the very beginning of spring and then the beginning of spring. So you get more specific and you work with more specific energies by working with, okay, each month there's a different festival, working with a different god or goddess, working with their specific virtues that you embody in your life so you can live in alignment with the gods, and honoring a different aspect of nature and of yourself, because we're also extensions of nature.
Yes, I really like the Greek religion as that nature, you know, earth-based religion. That is something that really calls to me, and I think a lot of pagans and witches feel that same way, that deep earth connection.
Exactly, yes.
So can you share any simple rituals or practices for, you know, beginners that want to start connecting with or working with the Greek gods and goddesses on a more daily basis?
Yes. So firstly, it's all about finding your guardian god or goddess. I mean, you don't have to, but I feel for someone just starting out, it's a great way to ease into that because you have a specific god or goddess that you can have a relationship with. I have a meditation in the book all about meeting that, but I also have a free workshop that everybody can get access to when they go to GreekMysticism.com. And essentially, by meeting your guardian god or goddess, first of all, who is that? It's the universal law function, the frequency that you most need right now in your life, that's accompanying you throughout your life, that guides your journey forward, your specific life purpose. For example, my guardian god is Apollo, because Apollo's energy aligns so much with what my purpose on earth is. So when you have your guardian god, then it's all about setting an altar and having a relationship with that god on a daily basis. What do I mean by an altar, and why build an altar? Altars have been used by cultures all around the world since the beginning of time. They are portals of communication with the divine. They dissolve the boundary between the profane and the sacred. They open up space to communicate with the divine. So what is a sacred space? It's a defined space. It's literally like a surface on a side of a table or a whole table that you dedicate to your spiritual practice. All you need to do to set up the altar is place like objects on it that represent your connection with the divine. In the book, I have a whole list of items that you can include, but essentially you have to make it your own. I like, for example, to have a statue of my guardian god or the god that I'm honoring that month. I have crystals and I have flowers. I have an offering of usually it's herbs or some kind of like grains. I have different kind of statues and symbols aligning with that god. I have a candle to create the sense of like activating the energy. And I have incense that I burn to connect. And basically all I do is I just read the Orphic hymn to that god on a daily basis, which is an ancient hymn. All gods, I believe the 12 Olympians, they have their Orphic hymns that are different from the Homeric hymns that most people are familiar with. These are religious hymns that have been recited by so many people for thousands of years. So when you recite them, you activate the energy of that god within you. So by having that altar, by establishing a daily connection with your personal guardian god, it's the easiest way to like access their wisdom and get started with your spiritual practice. And then, of course, in the book, we go like you can start simple and you can build up by doing a new moon ritual, a full moon ritual, the festival of the month ritual, etc.
That is great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I know that that meditation is going to be helpful for a lot of people. Do you find that there are any gods or goddesses that tend to come forward as a guardian more often for beginners, or is it kind of just all over the board?
It's all over the board, really. And what I encourage people to do in the book is go beyond the 12 Olympians. Because as I said, there are thousands of gods and goddesses, as many as there are universal laws and functions. I mean, the Greeks, they deified the morning sunlight that's mirrored on the surface of the ocean. That is a goddess, for example. Like every single aspect of nature, because it's literally like a universal law or function, they named it. So there are gods and goddesses that we don't even know the names of. So what I guide people to do in that process of finding their guardian God is be open to whoever comes in that meditation. It could be one of the 12 Olympians, or it could be anything else, anybody else from the gods and goddesses that has a specific name or that doesn't have a specific name. For example, there's a goddess called Despina. In English, you would pronounce it Despina. And if you Google that, you'll find that goddess. It's an ancient Greek goddess, but it was a very mystical goddess. That was, her practice was sacred and secret. And therefore, we don't have a lot about her, but it is a goddess. So she could be the one coming up. Or like gods and goddesses that I don't even know the names of, for example. So be open to seeing what or who comes up.
And is that something that could change over time as well? If you started out and, like you said, your guardian is Apollo, has that always been that way? Could that change if you need something new in your life?
Great question. Yes, we can have new guardian gods and goddesses coming in depending on what it is we're working on. For example, for many years, I worked a lot with Aphrodite because I needed to embrace my sexual nature. I had a lot of healing to do when it comes to accepting my body and self-worth. And Aphrodite was the right person. Well, not person, the right goddess for that. So depending on what it is we're working on, we have different gods and goddesses. However, my urge is usually to work with all of them throughout the year because they're all representations of source, and they all have a frequency that we need and virtues that we need to bring into our lives at different times of the year. For example, now that it's April while we're recording this, on the Greek Wheel of the Year, we're celebrating the Aphrodisia Festival in honor of Aphrodite. Why? Because it's the time of the year that the sun, that the time has changed, daylight savings time has changed. There's increasing solar light coming onto the planet, and therefore there's increasing spiritual light coming in. And Aphrodite, she's the goddess of form. She gives form to things. That's why she's the goddess of sex and beauty and love, because love and sex is all about creation. So this increased light is resulting in the proliferation of nature, in the blooming of nature. So we're celebrating creation right now, spiritually as well as naturally. So if we only worked with Apollo or Demeter because that's our guardian god, we would miss out on the frequencies of Aphrodite in April that we so need. So do you see my point that we have to like embrace everyone?
Yes, and work with everyone, have everyone a part of that. You shouldn't, you know, I'm guessing we're focused more on feminine or masculine deities based on what your gender identity is. You really want to open yourself to all of them.
Exactly, because the divine masculine and the divine feminine are energies that have different qualities, and not one god or goddess embodies all the qualities. Like you have Artemis, for example, who embraces this wild, raw, pure, unbridled aspect of feminine energy. And then you have Hera that has a more of a boss babe kind of vibe, where she's the queen of Olympus, and she's all about motherhood, and she's all about leading, that aspect of the divine feminine energy. Then you have Demeter, who is all about the productive aspect of nature. She's the womb of the earth, of the productive earth. You have Athena, who is all about strategy and wisdom and turning knowledge into action. You have Hestia, that is the hearth of our soul, the hearth of our heart. She's the center of everything, really, our soul, the world, our communities, all different aspects of the divine feminine. So why sacrifice one for another?
Because they are all so different.
Exactly.
And I love that. I'm learning such great information just from you talking about all of this. I really find it fascinating. And I would love to ask this as, you know, a little bit off topic from your book, but
yeah,
as far as the religion, what is it like nowadays in Greece? Obviously, it's not the same as it was in ancient times where they all had temples, and it was the religion of all of the people. I mean, obviously it's different now, but I think that you still do have temples there, right? For the ancient Greek gods?
Yes, there is definitely progress. So in 2017, the Greek state legalized Greek polytheism as an official religion. Before that, it was not a legal religion. So it was only in 2017. And that was the year that I traveled to Athens and I trained. I attended the first ever priesthood training to train with that.
Oh, wow.
Now, they don't still allow us to practice in the ancient temples because they consider them as like cultural heritage. And therefore, right, we're not allowed to practice there. I do get it, but at the same time, it sucks because they are temples of our religion that they're not allowing us to use. But I do understand the cultural aspect behind that. So in Athens specifically, they have an indoors temple. But where I live in Cyprus, we have the first modern temple of Zeus that's built like outside. And it's built according to the standards of ancient Greek temples, but it's a modern temple. So in Cyprus, we practice monthly in that public temple. And I know that in different parts of Greece, there are also like public altars or temples that people can go to. Not public, meaning they are like outside, like they're out in nature, but they're owned by people, sadly. So I'm still dreaming of a time when we can reclaim fully that religion and we can have public temples and have people going out there and truly honoring the gods and goddesses without having to fear of bullying and attack that sadly is still part of our experience.
I'm surprised. 2017 is very recent. I'm so surprised by that.
Yeah, because in Greece and Cyprus, the Greek state and the religion are still very much connected, and the Orthodox Christian Church still has a lot of power and control over the state, and therefore they fought it for years.
Yeah, that would be a big change. So you talk about in the book the different, you know, rituals and things that you can do. Is that something for people who are listening who are in different countries and not around you in Greece and wouldn't be able to get to you? Is this all still something that they could do on their own and privately, even if they don't have a temple or a group of people to practice with for like new moon or full moon rituals? Is it still okay to make this a solo practice?
Absolutely. So the whole premise of the book is, and that the practical aspect of the book is household practice. Essentially, how do you take that practice and bring it to your own home? Because of course, when there are public groups, then you have your own community and you go in the same way, like in the witchcraft, you have your own coven and you practice like magic together. We have our own like groups and we meet once a month and we practice our rituals. But that's not possible for everyone in the contemporary world. And even here that we have our public practices and rituals, we all have our own personal household practice. And that's what I've based this book on. And I feel it's way more powerful than public practice because you have your own personal connection with the divine, with the gods and goddesses. So all the rituals that I include in the book, the new moon, the full moon, and the monthly rituals, I teach how to practice them like in the comfort of your own house.
Yeah, and I appreciate the step-by-step guide in all of those. That was a nice touch, and including even, you know, it's like setting up the altar and also like taking down the altar and how that is all a part of that, because that made just the way that you set it up in the book makes it like flow really well. And just for my orderly mind made a lot of sense. So just tossing that out that I really appreciated all of that, how that was set up.
Are you a Virgo by any chance? That's why you like the order.
I am not. I was raised by a Virgo though.
my
dad
get
was
it.
The most Virgo of all time. So I think that rubbed off on me, but no, I am a Scorpio.
Okay. I hear you. Because I'm very organized. I'm also not a Virgo. I'm a Leo, but I'm also like very organized when it comes to like processes and steps and systems.
I like the steps and systems. And I just, when it comes For me specifically, because I was raised Roman Catholic, and I think that I just over the years have had a lot to deconstruct from that. When it comes to specifically deities and religion, I need more order in those areas than in others. Like I need it to make sense. Like it has to, not just the steps, but like the purpose behind it and the meaning, like all of it has to make sense, because the Roman Catholic didn't make sense to me. And there were so many teachings that just I didn't like, and there was no order and they didn't make sense. So when there is a book on deities and religions, I need it to be, you know, be more scientific, and your book meets that requirement for me.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? I feel that earth-based traditions are aligned with science in a way that Abrahamic religions like Christianity are not, because the ancient Greek religion specifically talks about the evolution and how we're all evolving with nature, and the gods and goddesses, they are like universal functions. The gods have not created the universe. The gods are part of the universe. The universe was never created. It was always there. It just evolved and changed, but it's always there. So we don't have this understanding that the gods are outside of us, and we therefore depend on them. My teacher always used to tell me that we are all swimming in the ocean of the gods. The gods are not outside of us. We're all swimming in it, and therefore we don't need to reach out there to connect with them. They are already here. That's why the affirmations, the mantras that I include in the book all start with I or I am. I am Apollo. I am Hermes, because you bring that into your body. You bring the frequency within you. Whereas with the Christian tradition, for example, the God is something external. It's outside looking in. He's the creator. And first of all, it's a masculine creator. And therefore, you have to pray to that creator to give you something. Whereas even with prayer, our prayer is affirmative prayer. We affirm for the grace already given, which is a completely different perspective from the Christian one.
Yeah, I think that is what appeals to me as well, that it's just more of a collaborative effort and more of, you know, a balanced relationship and a give and take and having a response from, you know, so you're like, you're getting that guardian, like through your meditation, like you're just getting more of a response than you do in a Christian, than I ever got in a Christian religion. Not that other people have not had success with a Christian religion, but I never did.
Yeah, because what I've tried to do in the book is give people that personal connection, that embodied connection with the gods and goddesses, not just see them as something outside of themselves. That's why for every chapter about the god, I have a meditation to connect with the god, to meet the god, to receive an attunement from the god, which gives people this like very real, palpable experience of the deity.
And I think it's very helpful then to see that reflected in nature. That is probably why I enjoy these nature-based religions, because all of it is, and you know, have these gods and goddesses that are related to lightning and rain, and you see those natural phenomenons happening, and it just sort of all matches together. I'm like, oh, things make sense.
Yeah, and since you talked about rain and like lightning, like Zeus, who is the god of the sky and the god of thunder. So we see thunder, like, okay, it's a representation of Zeus. But what is really thunder? Because the ancient Greeks honored thunder as a god as well, like god thunder, to the point that when it was raining, people wouldn't say, oh, it is raining. They would say Zeus is raining or Zeus is thundering. That's like a saying that they had. And what is thunder from a spiritual perspective? It's the, and sorry for the analogy, is a divine semen that impregnates the earth. It's a life force energy that gives rise to so much life on the planet. So you can see it from the physical perspective out in nature, but you can also understand it. Okay, it's a spiritual force, life force energy that's coming in that I can connect with as well. So what I love about the ancient Greek religion is that it has both. There is a physical perspective and there's also the spiritual perspective.
It really is very fascinating. And there's so much to learn. And I appreciate that you put the essentials into your book, because I know that, again, it's a topic that can get very overwhelming. And there's a lot out there if you want to like further research Greek mysticism and all of this mythology. There's so many like resources that you can go to, but to have this one spot where you can get everything and be able to get started and feel like you have a handle on this, I think that was really great the way that you set it up and included everything for that. So thank you for providing such a lovely resource for people.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you just said.
And I want to thank you, George, for spending your time today and teaching us. I learned so much. I know the listeners did as well. So thank you for sharing all of this. And listeners, as always, I will have everything linked in the show notes so you could go check it out and order the book and check out the website, all the free meditations. I think those are all going to be very helpful resources for you. So thank you, George, so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And listeners, that's everything that I have for you this week. I will see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer. All lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Need even more witchcraft in your life? Subscribe to Witch Wednesdays on Patreon and YouTube for all types of exclusive bonus content like spells, recipes, book reviews, and more, or even order personalized tarot readings and spells. Be sure to follow on Instagram at Witch Wednesdays Podcast. You can find all these links and more at witchwednesdays.com.